And thank you for listening to the Sean Vieg podcast. I am your host, Sean Vieg. You can learn more about me by visiting SeanViegFitness.com and downloading my free fitness app, subscribing to my YouTube channel, which I have a new 7-day bedtime yoga challenge going on. So jump all over that, sleep better. And you can browse my collection of fitness books, including, well, it's not there yet, but my upcoming book from Havily Press, Pilates for Athletes. But enough about me. Today's guest on the Sean Vieg podcast is the Hardy to my Laurel, the Martin to my Lewis, and the Laverne to my Shirley. Please welcome back reoccurring guest and Ed McMahon, Stefan.
Hey, I never know when to say that when I come in. I always think you're gonna stop and then you go more. I like it. It
keeps me. Well, let me tell you something. I have these notes here for the intro, and I never read them exactly, but that's. I think the hallmark of Sean Vieg Fitness or anything that I do, I kind of plan, but then we just, boom, if something pops into my brain or my synapses fire a little differently, I have to get it out there. It's kind of a compulsion with me. So how are you doing, Stefan?
I'm well. Thank you for having me again. And it feels like forever since we did a podcast. When was the last one? November? December?
Well,
when was it?
That's the title I wrote down for this podcast is Newborn to Being Reborn. And the reborn part, we'll get to all that in a moment, but the reborn part, one of the components is coming back to the podcast consistently because there's been some events and things happening. And as they say, life happens. So it's been a while. I did a lot of podcast episodes late last year, a little bit early this year, but it's been about 3 months. 2 or 3 months since I've done one. Sometimes I forget I have the podcast, but it's a wonderful thing because it's there and it's always idling. And when I'm ready to do another one, hit record and here we are, right?
Zing, you're off. Yeah, you know, since last time we did one, Burger King has come out with a meatless hamburger, meatless Whopper. So it's been a long time. Who would have thought?
I know they have veggie burgers. Now it's a Whopper
meatless. Yeah, so they're doing it nationwide. The brand is called like Impossible Meat or Impossible Burger or something. Mm-hmm. And they did an amazing thing, and hopefully you can segue with this, where they tried it in like St. Louis, but they didn't tell anybody. And people are coming out and they're interviewing and they're like, oh, this Whopper is great. You know, they didn't tell them it was not meat. It would have been really amazing to have video cameras there to have one guy like take a swing at the reporter.
How dare you? I didn't feel quite as bloated. I can't swear. No, this is a G-rated podcast. Never mind.
G.
Well, that's good to know. I used to go to Burger King all the time in high school. I always got the Whopper, 2 Whopper Juniors, fries, and a Dr. Pepper.
I know.
It fast. I'm in a hurry.
I know. A Diablo sandwich and a Dr. Pepper. I'm so excited for this new wave of fast food because it's all so horrible for you. And everyone's, you know, you got kids. Now that you have kids, so we'll segue into that. When you have kids and you're traveling,
there's so many segues going on here.
Right. Well, you need good nutrition. It's hard to find. It's so hard.
It is. Well, in this country too, it's nice to have options. It's a great country for options. You don't like one thing? Fine. Just get something different. I think that there's always a large menu. Choose what you want and don't take what you don't want. Or yeah, did I say that right? Anyway. Yeah, I can segue into anything. So Burger King is being reborn. So the last podcast I did was probably about a month ago. I was in my car after working out, and I talked about the arrival of my son, Dane Sorensen Vieg, who was born 8:10 a.m. on February 28th. So he'll be 10 weeks old tomorrow. We're still measuring in weeks. I know there's a rule. I said 2 months, and people like, no, it's weeks. So I was chastised for that. But talk about the arrival of Dane. And you, how old's your son, Stefan?
He is 10. Dace.
10. So it's been very nice because you and I speak multiple times a week on the phone. Hopefully we'll get you out here soon to the mountains so you can hang out with Dane and Addie and have some veggie burgers from Burger King. And we talked a lot about this. You have 2 children. They're in double digits now. But you and I have been talking a lot about the expectation versus the reality of having a child, having a newborn in the house, what happens before the child is born and what happens afterwards.
Yeah, the big one was, and we were recording before this, and it went south. So I'll go straight to the point with my first child, Ariana. She was 2004, and luckily I didn't tell everybody. We don't have a lot of family around us or friends, so it was just work. And my wife luckily told me to save the announcement, because you got to wait, you know, like the whole, you're counting in weeks. When you do the announcement, you got to count in months, and you got to wait 3 to 4 months. And for me, I forgot. Not that we were pregnant, but I had to announce it. And then mm-hmm. I think it was the 8th month where I told my employer, like, I won't be around, you know, on this date to this date. And then everyone, the floodgates were open with advice, and you don't ask for it. I welcomed it, but oh mm-hmm. man, I was just inundated with all kinds of, did you get this? And what did you buy that? And you're going to lose all your sleep. And we've talked about that, and just, it freaks you out. And people, I think their intentions are good, but it does so much more harm. I think when you're a male and you're not around babies, it's ready terrifying enough. And then you throw that, it's like gasoline on a fire. You're like, yeah. Oh man. So I remember the panic setting in right there. Like, not like, what have I done? But like, oh, I didn't know that. Or, you know, they're always going to be sick. And it's like, oh, this sounds horrible. Instead of be like, mm-hmm. oh, this is going to be the greatest thing of your life. You know, be great for you. So that was my experience.
Everyone tells you their specific experience too. And a lot of times they preface it with, hey, everything's a little bit different. Depends on the child, depends on who you are, what your personality is, how your spouse is, what your situation is, where you live, all these things. I noticed a big thing, you were talking about that with your wife, and hey, don't say anything, is the politics of the announcement and who you tell first and when you tell them and how you tell them. And you got to be careful, because my family is pretty small, but Jillian's family is huge. And there's different sides of the family, certain sides that don't speak to each other. So you have to have some tact of who you tell, when you tell, and how you do it also. It's best just to tell everybody at once, but also for the sake of the health of the baby, you don't want to say anything too soon, because things could happen. I think we were about 3 or 4 months in. Actually, no, we found out Jillie was pregnant. We went to Decatur, Illinois, and saw her family. And while we were there, she told everybody. So never mind. She couldn't help it. And plus, it's family, and they sense something. Especially her mom. There's certain people that know right away. Like, there's something right. different with Jillie. What is she doing? The way she's acting. There's a different energy about her, and about Sean. Because I was in shock for about 2 months. I was, I was very much in shock, walking around going, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
But as you said too, I have no experience. People on social media post photos of their children. I really now I notice them more, but before I had Dane, I don't really notice the kids. Someone posts a picture of a baby, you think, oh, that's a cute baby, and you kind of move on. Now I notice I'm really noticing the children, and oh, how old is she? How old is he? Oh, he's crawling already. Oh wow, she's talking. How old is she? So definitely entering a jungle here, a whole new world.
Yeah, it's the milestone game is what you're going to be playing for a while. Is the not necessarily comparing things, but you know, by the age of one, do you have these check boxes filled in, and yeah. et cetera?
And it's, I don't read that much. I'm good about that. I ignorance is bliss for me, a little bit. Jillie does more of the reading and then tells me. So, because I really don't want to know. I know Dane he's very healthy. He's growing. He eats all the time. He poops all the time. He farts. Yesterday, I said goodbye to him. He was in bed before I went to go teach, and he looked at me and lifted his legs and let a huge fart. So, to let me know he cares.
I think he's ready to admit himself into a fraternity then, it sounds
like. Oh, no. Farts are always funny. This morning, boom, is that Dane? Jillie says, yeah. I'm like, yeah, sure it was. But it was Dane. I could actually recognize his farts. And as you said a little bit ago, is that one of the biggest thing, and I don't like this when people would say this to me. They would say, hey, make sure you get your sleep now, man. Make sure you get your sleep now, because I love my sleep. I think everybody does. And the nature of what I do is very physical all the time. So I'm like, oh man, I know how life
is never going to be the same.
Yeah. And that kind of stuff. And I'm not a big platitude guy. When people post platitudes and for the most part, these self-righteous platitudes online, I just roll my eyes and be like, oh, come on, go out and do something. Stop writing about it. So that kind of stuff doesn't stick with me at all. It's the experience that matters and what you do with it. But I'll tell you something, Stefan, and whoever's listening out there, I think I'm getting more sleep now. That's probably blasphemy, but I have really bad sleeping habits. I love staying up late. I'm a night owl. I work at night, and I've actually been going to bed earlier a lot, or I just pass out on the floor up in the loft.
And you got to get the Da Vinci model going.
I nap when I need to, and I've been feeling good. People have asked me in my classes when I teach or as the videos, like, where are you getting all this energy from? You have a newborn. I'm like, well, most time Dane sleeps 2 or 3 hours at a time, and then he feeds, then he goes back to sleep, then he feeds and he goes back to sleep. So he's a good boy so far.
That's great.
A good boy.
Just be honest. You're on the cafe lattes, aren't you? I can get all the...
I got my cafe right here with my creamer in it. It's some kind of plant-based creamer. It's pretty good, except it looks like swamp water because it doesn't quite mix. It separates. It looks like Lake Neshonic.
Uncoagulated goo.
But I tell you, I think the biggest adjustment for me, the first few days it bugged me, is having all the people in my house because before Dane, Jilly would get up, go to work, and she'd be gone and come home. And I'd have the house. I work from home all the time. I'm doing all my stuff. It's Addie and I. And now for the first number of days, I'm like, why are these people in the house? What's this baby doing here? What do I do with this baby? For a little while, you think, well, what do I do with them? I don't know what to do with them. And it's pretty basic, right? You hold him, you burp him, you wipe, clean up after him, change his diaper, and then make sure he's fed and he can sleep, right? Exactly. And don't let him fall.
Yeah, no falling. And what we were talking earlier, the big one for us is, I'll never forget it, the nurse sent us home with a gallon of Purell hand sanitizer situation and just like, don't let anybody that's sick near him. And it was January 1st, so it's like cold and flu season, and everybody wants to see the baby, right?
Yes.
Like, you got to interview people. Are you sick? Have you been sick? I just remember
here,
that being
can I swab
so
your throat?
Stressful. It would have been so much better if anybody in the medical profession didn't say anything to me and just like, just use your judgment. You know,
we had family fly out right away, and he's been fine, and we take him out to, he's gone to restaurants with us. He's gone to the market. We make sure we take him out. If we know somebody is sick, they're showing symptoms of something. No, you're not coming around him, but that's kind of the same for anybody. Don't come over to the house when you have a really bad cold, just wait till later, or we can meet outside.
You're turning into a zombie, best to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
Then you
no
get all
apocalyptic zombies here.
Right. And then you get all the shot. He gets all the shots and all that stuff. And then you intentionally get him sick, the vaccines and all that. And that's a wild ride.
4 inoculations last week. And he was a little fussy for a couple days. the middle of the night, I'll wake up. Jilly will be changing him. And she'll have him on the floor, and that means that he peed all over his face or himself, so she has to put him on the floor. He's like, oh, he pissed in his mouth. I'm like, yeah, he's discovering how it works. He's discovered where his pee-pee is now. You could see him. Jilly said he tried to grab it when she was changing him yesterday, so that's a whole new world right there.
That is a whole
Once new. He discovers his pee-pee, he knows it's down there, but it's like, what's this? Anyway, I mean, that's not vulgar, is it? That's just true. I mean, he's like, what is that? What is that down there? Why he pees in his mouth sometimes? Funny.
Hopefully that's not the show title, but
he pees in his mouth. But it's funny because I share all this with you because you went through the same stuff with Brock. Hopefully not still, but I'm like, oh, he blew out his diaper. Actually, this morning I changed him. Like, man, it got out onto his leg. He was laying in his pack and play, and I was playing Mozart for him, and all of a sudden, and it went on for about 17 seconds. It was like a trolling motor for a fishing boat. So I guess everyone's gone through that. I realize all my clients that where I teach at Nick's, they're all parents. A lot of them are grandparents. So they're a wealth of information, and it's fun to share all that with them. And I know it's nice because they do gravitate towards the newborns. Like, oh, a newborn. Oh, and it's such a special time. And I'm sure a lot of them, they think back very fondly of that because also you're much younger, too. You look back when you had a newborn, you're in 20s, 30s, or 40s.
Yeah, and it only, well, unless you have multiple children, it only comes around once. So you have to embrace it and then move on and just enjoy it. That's what I always try to say when people announce their pregnancy. I'm like, well, just really try to enjoy it and, like, soak it in. Don't worry about this one guy he was friends with. He's like, oh, man, I got to get a new camera. I got to get a new car. I'm like, you don't need to get anything.
New car?
Oh, yeah, like, the minivan thing. Like, you know, I'm like, I went through that. Just be yourself, you know.
I have to do this. I have to do that. But it's the sign of the times, all the information out there, too. And you, as we say, your mind is telling you that. You don't really have to do that. I'm proud of myself. I pray on it a lot too, but I just roll with everything. Another worry I had before he came is, oh man, what am I gonna do when he's screaming? Because of course, when you're in public and you hear somebody else's child screaming, like, oh my goodness, it's terrible. It goes right up your spine. So you wonder, are you going to feel that same way when you have a newborn in your house? But, it took the first few times he did it, it rattled me. Because I would stay up with him later at night so Jilly could sleep, and I'd be on the couch with him in the living room, have some movie on softly and doing some reading, and all of a sudden he'd wake up and he'd want to feed, and it takes 4 minutes to heat up the milk because I would bottle feed him. And the first few times it's a little bit of a boot camp because he just starts screaming, and you're trying to get it all ready, and it does rattle you. But after a few times, and I just kind of smile at him, I think he's adorable and he doesn't mean anything by it. He's not trying to purposely irritate me. It's fine. So I think it's very sweet that when he cries now.
That's a good way of looking at it. I like that.
Well, and I knew that if you have no experience in it, what are you going to do? You have to go through it a few times. In fitness, oh, I can't do that plank. I said, well, how long have you been practicing it? Well, just once. Well, there you go. So practice it a number of times and you'll be able to do it. Work with Dane, let him scream a little bit. And they're like, okay, it's no big deal. It's no big deal.
Right. Well, I think that's true with anybody's success, whether you're in business or in athletics. You don't really hear about the failures, but to be honest with you, I love on YouTube or wherever when you're watching someone's backstory, you don't realize of the failure or the obstacles that person mm-hmm. had to overcome to achieve success. And I told you to watch Marcus Allen's Football Life, I think. I had no idea all the trouble he went through with being on the Raiders. It was shocking to me. I always knew him. He's just a great football player. I had no mm-hmm. idea how he really just was a professional about it through and through. You know, he took the lumps. He took the
were talking about that. How the name becomes the legend, but then you think, oh, the Marcus Allen, great, one of the greatest running backs. He was from USC also, right? Did he win the Heisman Trophy?
He did.
And like, oh, you gloss over it that he's a real person. He's a real human being that goes through ups and downs, big ups, big downs all the time. Funny, you and I have been talking about A Football Life because I have Amazon Prime now, and I've been watching about 2 episodes a night. And that's how it always is. Well, especially in football, it's so brutal, but there's always great ups and great downs, and you hope, and you really hope that the person can come out of it doing pretty well out of that kind of lifestyle in football.
Well, yeah, to segue to having a newborn, Steve Largent was probably one of the best episodes I watched on the Football Life because I knew who he was. He was a Seahawk and he was a receiver. I had no idea how short he was.
Yeah, he's like my height.
Yeah, for football, that's really short. And he wasn't very fast, but he had amazing hands. So whatever the skill set he had, he used it to his advantage. And you think that's the great part of the story. It's like right after the end. And have you seen it?
I watched it last night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you see that all of a sudden he has a son that has difficulties. I forget what
it's
challenges.
What is it? Bifida? It's a little disability. Mm-hmm.
Spina bifida, I think.
Spina bifida, that's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, nice boy.
His immediate reaction his knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, this is it. This child's life is over. He's going to have so many problems. And then something came over him, and he just like, he embraced it, and it was like, you know, some of the best times of his life was being around his son. And it was such a great story. I didn't see it coming at all when I was watching that show. It kind of was surprised me too. And I'm like, oh, what a great way to talk about how he ended his football career, and mm-hmm. it became more of a family man and a politician. You think he's over, and then it's a rebirth, kind of like the theme of our story or your the podcast today is reborn.
Being reborn. I always say life is very episodic. It comes in episodes. I think that's another reason I gravitate towards great television. Each at a self-contained episodes, it's so packed with good stuff. And then you move on to the next one. Sometimes you'll never come back to that episode. But life is very episodic. Maybe what you were doing, who you were with, where you were living, the interests you had at a certain time. Then you move on. A football life, I watched the one about Mean Joe Green the other night. I always like Mean Joe Green. Just Joe Green, I guess. And he made that comment. He must be in his 70s now. But it's so good to see him with his family and his grandchildren. But he was saying, he goes, I don't recognize that person anymore that I was when I played football. That was back in the 70s and 80s. As time goes on, I look at that as that was his episode back then. That was him, of course, but the way things have changed since then, him mentally and physically and spiritually, I'm sure it's very interesting for him to look back at those games and like, oh, that was me out there doing all that, like a different life. A lifetime ago, probably like, because you played high school football.
Well, it'd be interesting to have them all on film because you'd be watching them as a viewer for the first time. Because as an athlete, a lot of that you block out. You know, I don't have perfect recall, and I mean, a lot of times I was knocked out, so I have no recall.
Well, I think especially football because it's so brutal with the hits,
right?
That actually physically impairs how you can remember things, also.
Yeah, so I would be watching it as a first-time viewer, and it would be very fascinating. I remember one time when our good friend Peter was visiting in Milwaukee, and he's kind of an early riser, and he got up, and you guys got into the videos that I had, and there was
those were from high school.
It's high school, games. Yeah, a high school football game, and I was being very physical, but then I got up and did this celebration. And almost injured myself during the celebration.
Your knee almost gave out.
I know.
You had this spaz attack.
Ah! Yeah. No, that's football. But watching these videos on these old athletes, there's just something about it, and it's such a great way to see that there's more than, you know, because football is such a short life. You know, you only have a few years, and it's great to see these all-time greats that you remember. They did something afterwards that was meaningful, and they it wasn't just football and they're signing autographs. They moved on. They're doing other things. They got family, careers, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I like. Well, we know that for these success stories we see, there's so many that did not end up very well.
Right.
I just wrote down, because we're talking about being reborn, about newborn to reborn. And a good one I wrote down is never reach absolutes. Never, even no matter what you're doing, how much you love it, what you're doing, always take it with a grain of salt. That this, you know, I love this, but if this was gone tomorrow, I would be okay. I could move on to something else. I think that's a problem with a lot of people. They get... And I do it too. We get so stuck in what we're doing right now, whether we like it or not, and think, well, this is just the way it is. And that ties in also with the expectations before the baby comes and what we, all these things we tell ourselves, this narrative that we have in our head before things even happen. And I've been very good about that. The battlefield of the mind is, as Joyce Meyer talks about. I listen to her a lot. She's wonderful. And our mind sets the agenda all the time. And this traces into fitness. This traces into any everyday occurrence. We were talking about being reborn, Stefan. What are you up to again now? Because you've been very excited the last couple weeks. You've been adding something new to your life.
Yeah,
is that the cocaine?
I wish. That would I'd be like Mork out there from Mork and Mindy wearing suspenders and vests. And
it's a wonderful thing. Yes.
Chaz making all kinds of observations and zinging people. No, about 4 weeks ago. Let me back up. Over a year ago, two Marches ago, I got in a car accident and I was hitting the gym and I was so excited in 2018. I'm like, oh, I was lifting weights. I was feeling great. And then I got in that stupid car accident and it was very minor, but it's the way I was positioned in the car. I turned my head and it really affected. I couldn't do certain lifts and all these things with your nerves.
Is that when you were bench pressing, right?
Yeah, I was bench pressing. I dropped the weights right on my chest because I had this reaction like two nails were driven into my wrist. And just instinct, I dropped the weights on my chest. Thankfully, I was only doing like 135 pounds in reps. And I got it off my chest. But it was like, okay, maybe we shouldn't do that anymore. And then I did the chiropractor thing and the acupuncture. Nothing really seemed to fit, you know, the magic pill. Nothing was working there. And over 4 weeks ago, it kind of got a little better outside. And I'm like, you know, I need to get back outside because this has been the worst winter. And, you know, your notes were one of them I couldn't read was bad winter. This winter was especially bad. And I, you know, I count on it. That's my gym. And that's your office. You know, you're out there filming.
I
love going to the store and back. I don't like using my car, so it was a tough winter for me.
You're in Wisconsin too. We've had a very cold winter in Colorado, and it really has been consistently cold. But those Wisconsin winters, oh my goodness! You look at the photos, it looks so pretty, but you forget how cold it is from the ground up.
Yeah, the bitter cold. Yeah, we had a polar vortex. And we lost all electricity for, I don't know, like 4 or 5 hours, and it was minus 45 degrees. Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, man, yeah. I felt like Rocky IV, kind of. Like, the one part of me is like a challenge, like, let's do this. Let's all, like, just wear our coats and sit, you know.
Do you have any mountains you can run up to exactly. And shout Drago or Ivan? Drago, that's it.
Oh, Drago, Drago.
We should do a whole podcast on that.
Over a month ago, I just decided just something in me, and this happened in 98 or 97 with me. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to commute to work. I'm gonna run to work. That is my goal. And I don't run. I have never been a runner. I went out for track 1 year in high school and I hated it because I was a sprinter, but we're going to run a half mile. We're going to run a mile. We're going to run to Lake Neshonoc and back. And I was like, why? I'm a sprinter. Like, I don't want to do that. So running has never been natural for me. I love walking, walk everywhere. Both you and I are great walkers, but the running, not so much. And I don't know. It just came up to me one day and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start running. And like anything I do, I go, you also do this where you just go right into it. Just, you know, we have this excitement. We tackle it. And I knew that my body wasn't ready for, I couldn't run 7 miles one way to work, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to see how far I can go. And I ran about a mile and I shut it down. And then I walked the other 6 miles. And then for a week I couldn't run because I was so sore, but eventually I would bring it up to, you know, I'd run a good city block. I'd walk the city block. And now I'm to the point where I can run 7 miles one way with a pit stop for an apple in between. And then I typically walk back, and I think I did some calculation. It was almost 300 miles in 4 weeks, 208 miles.
So what are some of the reactions to that? How are you feeling?
I feel great when I listen to the body. So every once in a while I get too excited and I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep pushing it. And then the next day I got to really ease off. But other than that, my energy is up. I'm sleeping so much better.
And I wanted to ask about sleeping. I always
everything in sight, and I don't crave eating bad stuff. It's all good stuff, and I started eating more. I would say more frequently. Before, I was eating like one meal a day, like trying this whole OMAD, I think is what they call it. Like you eat once in a day and it's a big feast, which sounds great. But when you're working out, like I run to work, I work for 4 hours and then I like walk, run back. I need fuel. You know what I mean? I feel like Back to the Future 2 when Doc Brown comes back and he's like, I need fuel.
Yeah,
and he takes Mr. like Fusion. Miller High Life, a banana peel and whatever. And that's how I am when I get to work. And I have to run back. I'm like, I need fuel. Give me, I don't care which.
Well, you're in a state of want. Your body is what's the word I'm looking for? In a state of
catabolic. I don't know.
Oh, what is the word? You know, Mr. Fitness here. I can't remember it. Anyway, but your body needs nutrients. Anything. Well, not anything. Anything will be welcome, but it's.
I even ate someone's sandwich. I'm like, you gonna finish that? And they're like, no. I'm like, give me that sandwich.
Did you get the reaction too? People must think you're crazy in today's age. Like, no, yeah. We drive everywhere. We drive to the gym. I don't, but we probably don't. But you drive to the gym and park as close as you can so you can go walk on the treadmill.
Yeah, no, the reactions are like, you're crazy. Like, why are you doing this? I'm like,
oh, it's so liberating. It's such a freedom, nuts. Too.
She hated it when I used to bike to work. I did that for 15 years, and it was 12 miles one way. So I was about doing 24, 25 miles a day, and I did it for 15 years all year round in the winter and everything, and was hit twice by a car and survived.
The same car.
The same car. He didn't finish the job, so he backed up. But no, I get the same reaction. Why are you doing this? And I don't listen to any of it.
What do you tell him?
It's for my fitness. It's for my general health. I love a challenge, and I kind of leave it at that. Yes. And they just kind of look at you weird. But I just love that whole. If I don't make it, you know, I can always Uber or I could take a city bus. It's not that, you know, life threatening. You know.
Yeah, but you gotta have the challenge. You have to. Physical fitness is a beautiful way to constantly challenge yourself, to feel alive, to feel you have what it takes, and also to be humble. Being humbled is a wonderful thing. You could either look at it two ways. Be humbled and like, well, I'm not going to do that again. Or, well, I'm going to keep at this. I'm going to train. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to practice. I want to get better. It's good to be humbled. And it's funny, you and I are always kind of on the same wavelength, even though we're not in the same physical space most of the time. But I've checked out a bunch of books lately on running. I love hearing people write about running, write about people who run, about ultra marathoners, about different groups throughout the world that run, ancient Greece. There's something so primal about it. In today's culture with a gazillion distractions, if you let them distract you, to get back to just the sound of your feet on the pavement or the trail in your breath and maybe some Motley Crue in your ear. But it's something so primal, and let's face it, we are designed to move. We're designed to walk, crawl, jump, run, all the things we do as kids. I'm going to be really watching Dane once he starts moving. I mean, he's going to want to move. That's what he wants to do. And it's very sad that so many people as adults cut that off. Like, I'm not going to move anymore. I'm going to sit. And, they think, well, it's all over for me. I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50. I can't do that anymore. You're living proof, Stefan, after going through all these injuries and with the nerve issue you were having and the concussions you got from football, that your body is letting you get out there and move like that.
Yeah, it's one of the things I never thought I would do is run. Anytime someone mentioned running, I'm like, oh, that sounds horrible.
Right away, your mind is telling you that.
Yeah. So, I mean, anytime that, and I knew this was going to be something I wanted to do and I'd stick with it because I have ideas all the time. You know that. You've known me for so many years. Once I get excited about something and excitement period where, you know, goes away for a week or whatever, and I'm still thinking about it the night before, like, oh, I'm going to run. So like on a Sunday, the next business day, Monday, oh, I get to run to work. I'm excited about it. And that's kind of like you've talked about with your fitness world too. Like, I'm going to get up and film. I know I've got something. I know I have something right there when I get excited the night before.
It's so exciting. And it's interesting because to the majority of people that you know or talk to, they look at it as almost repulsive. You're going to run to work.
Yeah, not a chore.
You're
going to
do that. It's cold out or it's hot. Or I love what I do as far as with my brand. And I said that, I think I was telling Jilly or somebody that I said, probably to 99% of the people out there, the idea of getting up and going out on some trail somewhere to film this big hour-long workout somewhere is repulsive to most people. Right. Like, I don't want to do that. That sounds terrible. It makes me love it even more. I love being, you and I love kind of being on the fringes of things, but in a really healthy way. And that's why you and I have, I mean, we've known each other since first grade, I think. And we're in our 40s now, middle 40s. And you're older than me, by the way. That's right. You're okay. Five and a half. What are you, 5.5 months older than me? So
something like that.
But, you it's so great to roll out of bed, to get excited about these things. And for you and I, the excitement usually involves some kind of movement. The movement triggers such a beautiful response in the brain and the body to want to do more. And of course, it influences everything you do, better relationships with people, with your family, friends, neighbors, with Addie.
Well, it resets you for the day too. I found where you're like, what are the positive things that you found about it? Is like, I'm getting up at 5:30, 6 o'clock. I've never done that in my life ever. Like woke up and be sick. Like, let's hit it. And I'm like, I don't know what my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, but whatever I hope it stays, I hope this sticks. It's great.
Yeah. And things, they ebb and flow, they come in waves. Maybe you'll pull back. But what we say is you have the walking, and I'd say summer is here, but I'm looking out the window. We're getting, the forecast is 6 to 13 inches of snow today here in the Front Range of Colorado. So screw that. I'll go out and walk. I've been walking, and I push Dane in a stroller, which I really like. If Jilly's not home or she's going to do Pilates or take a nap, like, okay, I'll go out with Dane for about an hour. I push him around the neighborhood. We have a lot of big hills, winding roads, and he can say hi to the elk. So that's nice. And I do exercises I do walking lunges, holding on to the stroller. He just falls asleep usually. So it's very nice. And I listen to a podcast or something. But we're talking about newborn to being reborn. And you feel reborn, don't you?
Yes, I do.
It's great to know that your body can still do it. That's a big one, because we think I can't do that anymore. I can't run anymore. I ran in high school. I can't do that. I can't. There's the brain again. The brain just poisons the body. And of course, okay, I can't run. How about
that? On day two, I probably would have said I can't do this, but I didn't run on day two. I walked that distance. Now, it took me a lot longer, but I knew eventually, I'm like, 4 or 5 days, I can try it again.
Yeah, the walking is always there for you also. This is body weight. This is body weight calisthenic fitness at its best. And it's primal. It's a primal urge. I know I get that all the time. Just you and I, like, I'm going to go run into the woods. I trail run sometimes. A good song comes on and I go. I'm not that structured. You and I both like to run or do these things because we enjoy it. We don't want to usually be too hard on ourselves or try to set all these different levels.
No. Well, I kind of tried that. I got the fitness tracker. I had a Garmin watch. I had the Apple watch. I had a Fitbit. I had everything. And I'm like, I don't care. I know it's 7 miles.
You're doing it for pleasure.
Right. So I got rid of all of that stuff. I got, I decluttered everything and just put on the radio and I just take off. So
remember, keep it simple. You watch Friends?
Not recently, but I have watched the entire series.
Oh, I've seen a lot, but there's one where Phoebe, she runs. She runs with Rachel, I think, and Phoebe just runs like looks like a maniac, like a little kid.
And Rachel's judging her, and then she, in the end, I think she just goes, "Oh, this is so liberating."
Yeah, because Phoebe is so, she has no agenda. She goes, "I love running. This is so fun." Not that, okay, I gotta get a certain amount of miles in by this time, and I gotta get this time, and so while you're running, when you're supposed to be enjoying yourself and letting it all loose and being being feeling alive, you're sitting there judging yourself the whole time and setting these goals that sometimes if you don't reach them, then it's a failure. Yeah. And as we say, at the end of the day, unless you're training for something specific, of course, but who cares? Get out there and do it. Makes you a better person. So being reborn, Stefan, I love that you're doing that again, not just because I'm a fitness guy too, but I know it really ignites your spirit.
It takes care of so many things, though. Mental health, I think.
And your constipation, too.
Yeah. Just my relationships with my kids, too. I'm not as, grumpy or grouchy. I'm just, I have more energy. It makes no sense. I'm using all this energy to get to downtown Milwaukee and back, but I have more energy afterwards. If that makes any sense. I don't know.
Isn't that incredible? The more you move, the more you want to move, the more your body does.
It's like
as long as it's functional movement. If you're running and jumping straight into a brick wall, your body might not allow that for very long. But the more you do it, the more your body wants to do it. That's the same premise with yoga, power yoga, walking, Pilates, these kind of things. Your body hungers for it and it builds. And then it's saying, hey, come on, you got to give me more of this stuff. It's great. Your body becomes an addict for the movement. Put that on a shirt.
That's right. And my biggest takeaway is I need fuel. I think of Doc Brown all the time, like after I'm done running, I need fuel.
Yeah, you don't look at food as, okay, it's 3 o'clock, I got to eat, but it's a necessity. And that's primal too. Like I got to eat something because I want to keep doing this. I don't want to eat so I can sit all day. I got to keep moving. And yeah, I say it's tough in today's culture because everything's so technological. Everything's on the phone, a computer. So to get information, you just sit there and get it, and you can do all your work from there. I mean, a lot of people, they work from home as long as they have a phone and a laptop, and that involves a lot of sitting. So I understand it is tough. It's tough to do that, but habits are formed every day with what we're doing, with the choices we make, how we choose at that fork in the road. What is, you want the good habits or the bad habits, but ooh, that sitting. Something with Dane is sitting a lot with him at first. Now I get up and move around, but when he was really tiny, I fidget too much and it would keep upsetting him. So I had to just sit there really still with him on my chest. We would do skin to skin time where I'd be shirtless and put him on my chest. And a couple times for 2 hours, and I get up, I'm like, oh my God. I know the toughest workout would make me feel that stiff. stiff. And this little guy's just on my chest. He was so happy. And I'm like, oh, Dane, I got to move around. But because I was told, well, you fidget too much, Sean. You don't like to sit still. And so he keeps getting upset. Jilly's dad came to visit Jack, and he's a little bigger than me. And Jack would just set Dane right on his chest, and Dane had all this space. It was like he was on a cloud. And Jack could sit there in the chair for 3 hours and not move, and Dane was in heaven. He'd kind of fuss, and then just pass out again. Then he'd fuss and pass out. He was on the Jack cloud.
He's on the couch, the Jack couch. We called it.
So we probably start winding this up. We got a nanny. We're interviewing a nanny. But, you know, we're talking reborn. I wrote down a few things. I'm going to list them real quick, things that I'm doing. That reborn spirit. One is if the weather ever turns to summer here, it's a good timing too. Springtime, renewal, inspiration. Once we get past this snowfall, we might have another one. I don't know. Sometimes we get snow into June here, but I'm working on a new paperback, Pilates for Athletes, through Hatherley Press. So that's something different. I haven't written in a while, so I'm getting back into the writing. I'm kind of a content freak, so I just write and write and write. Then I have to go back and really edit it out or structure it better. But that's good. The writing is very good for me. I just did a conference, the NSCA conference. That's the National Strength and Conditioning Association. I was invited to one. It was in Cedar Falls, Iowa, to come in and do a yoga class for all the attendees and sign copies of my books and stuff like that. I've gotten offers for these kind of conferences before, but I always turned them down. And there was something about this one that really intrigued me. So I'm getting a nice relationship with them. And I'd like to do a couple of these a year, go out and do these conferences because I had such a great time.
I want to go with you on the next one. That'd be great if you had a signing. Oh. I'd set up a booth, the real Sean Vieg tour, like the real Peterman.
Let me tell you about when Sean peed himself.
The real Peterman. I'm the real Peterman.
I'm the real Peterman. Maybe I will take it up with Consumer Affairs. Okay, we're going to take an unexpected detour here. Sorry, that's Seinfeld reference number 3. That's very good stuff. it was such a great time, and it was at the University of Northern Iowa, and their whole athletic department there does my videos, and I think a lot the whole area. So that was cool because people come here and take my classes. They'll surprise me. I had a couple 2 weeks ago that came from New Jersey because they wanted to meet me and take my class. And they've been working out with me for years. That was his birthday present, actually. So that was really neat. About every few weeks, I get someone that just drops in. They're in Denver and they really want to take my class because they've been working out with me online. And I love that. So it was cool also to be around all these people who have been, I've been coming into their rooms or their classrooms or wherever for years. And you just plug right in with them. I had a personal assistant, actually, Savannah, and she was wonderful. And she told me, she goes, you know, I didn't want to be too friendly right away because I feel like I know you really well from the videos. And I said, oh, shut up. You know, so I didn't talk to her. Get out of here. Get out of here.
You should have reestablished Kramerica with her.
Kramerica, a bladder that goes on oil tankers. That's actually a pretty good idea. So I'm just getting revved up, but she took me to the all. It was great. When you're a presenter there, you have personal assistants, attendants. So we joked about that, and she filmed me on the football field. I filmed her in a video. That sounds bad, but it was a hip stretch video. And she's like, where do you want to eat? It's whatever you want to do. I'm like, can we go to the Olive Garden? She goes, sure. So we went to the Olive Garden, and the booth behind us was some of the girls' basketball teams, so they knew who I was. It was just fun. It was, long story short, it's neat for me really to meet people who train with me online because I do, but to have them all in that one space was really cool. And they want to talk about the videos. They want to talk about the movie quotes. And they definitely want to talk about Addy. Where's Addy? Is Addy with you? I'm like, no. I'm like, oh, no. Like, yeah, you just got me. I did a class for the volleyball team, the UNI volleyball team. That was a lot of fun. And so that's another part of the being reborn, doing some of these conferences. I'm doing a 7-day bedtime yoga challenge. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. And also being the best dad that I can with Dane. Rolling with it. It's crazy. 10 weeks now. And looking back, I'm like, yeah, things have been going very well. He's a really good kid. And he's really handsome. He looks really good, and he's going to be a stud, hopefully.
Yeah. He speaks 3 languages and can do 10 push-ups.
Well, he is starting to do sounds like wow. All these.
I love his sounds. Woo!
Oh, when you feed him, whether he's on the boob or in the on the bottle, it's and then woo. He sounds like Ric Flair. He gets so excited, starts kicking his legs.
You have to get him a feather boa.
Woo! All right. Well, this is great, Stefan. Really wanted to talk about, I love that you're running again and walking and hearing your thoughts on that. And that's the friend in me and also the trainer in me, too. I'm always a fitness instructor. So if you told me, oh, yeah, Sean, I don't walk anymore, I don't do any of that, I wouldn't like that. We'd really have to talk about that. So I'm so happy you're out there doing it.
Yeah, I'm out of the penalty box.
Yes. And good. All right, everyone. Well, thanks, Stefan, for coming on the Sean Vieg podcast again.
My pleasure. And thank you for having me.
Well, it's nice to be had.
No.
And I'll be reaching out to some new guests. That's why I said it's nice about the podcast is it's there. You can always listen to it. I have a lot of episodes out already with a lot of really neat people on it. That includes Stefan. That includes him. And if this podcast you've been enjoying it, please leave it a nice rating wherever you're listening from. I really appreciate that. It helps it. It keeps me going, keeps me inspired to do more. Leave a good comment and please share it. Share it with your friends, family, coworkers, teammates. And you want to know more about me? Check me out at SeanVeegFitness.com. You can download my free fitness app and subscribe to my YouTube channel. which I'm doing my 7-day bedtime yoga challenge right now, and also browse my collection of books. Appreciate you tuning in, and look forward to the next podcast. Thank you so much for listening.